The Broadway musical, Come From Away, tells the lightly fictionalized story of what happened when 38 jetliners with a total of 6,800 passengers diverted from their original destinations like so many planes. These ones landed in the small town of Gander on the island of Newfoundland on the morning of September 11, 2001. U.S. airspace was officially closed to all air traffic for the first time. By September 12th, the population of Gander had almost doubled overnight. The Gander Salvation Army chief went on public TV and asked the locals to bring food and other provisions for the many stranded people who had come from away. Everyone pitched in. People in Gander and all the neighboring towns prepared beds and meals in their homes, in schools, in community centers, to welcome and comfort the plain people, as they called them, P-L-A-N-E, plain people. Local pharmacies stayed open and filled prescriptions for free. The telephone company set up tables and phone lines so passengers could make calls for free anywhere in the world. But the town didn't just take care of the plain people's basic needs. They could have just housed them all together and gave them some food and washed their hands of it. They arranged concerts and sightseeing tours and a bowling match. Most of the passengers only stayed for 5 days or less, but for many, the generosity and hospitality they experienced there was transformative. Come From Away is one of my favorite musicals for many reasons. The staging is simple but powerful. It doesn't have flashy pyrotechnics. It's got a spare set of 12 chairs and a bunch of tables that move around in different configurations, and 12 actors each play multiple parts, all with different accents and personalities, and it's complex and intricate. The human stories are the heart of Come From Away. It is inspiring and earnest and hopeful. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It is available on Apple TV Plus, just so I'm saying. The last time I watched it, I've seen it a number of times live and on TV, I was struck by a song about halfway through called Prayer. In this scene, which we're gonna watch a clip of in a moment, you'll see that the scenes and the songs, the dialogue and the music is all interwoven and Come From Away. So it's a little hard to get like a clip. But in this scene, several characters, like many of us in the days after September 11, 2001, they feel lost and scared. The scene features a medley of prayers from different religious traditions. And this video clip we're gonna watch is from the West End run of Come From Away. It's available on YouTube. In the scene we just watched, two women connect through praying the rosary. Two men unite around a shared Jewish prayer. And a Muslim man, fearful of prejudice, was approached by someone who recognized his need for the comfort and safety of a place to pray. Those moments of connection where we recognize each other's humanity, where we aim to ease each other's suffering, where we say, I am here with you. That is holy and sacred. This scene stands out to me because it highlights the characters' differences and their connections to one another. We may be different in many ways, but in moments of fear and despair, everyone is looking for comfort and peace. In those moments, many people turn to prayer. So let's be honest, there are a lot of words that have to do with church that you use, have issues with or struggle with. Let's just start with church, right? Some of us struggle with that word. Prayer is one of those words, right? So I decided to crowdsource my sermon a little bit, and I asked you, my fellow UUCL congregants, some questions about your views and ideas and beliefs on the subject of prayer, and I'm going to share some of your responses now. Some are anonymous, which I will read, and some of you will share your own words. I first asked you to finish this sentence. Prayer is. Prayer is universal energy that can affect, shift, confirm, comfort, express gratitude. Prayer is my avenue to whatever higher power there is, and my mirror into the truest image of myself, of my own reflection, pardon me.
Prayer is my way of consciously expressing gratitude and putting my hopes out into the universe.
Prayer is more like sending whomever my positive thoughts. Prayer is asking a higher power for something that you need or want, and a means for being grateful and accountable.
Prayer is communion with a power greater than myself, who I call God, hope verbalized, requests made, thanks given, awe expressed.
Many of you connected and compared prayer and meditation. Prayer is not the direct pipeline to God that many religions, not just Christians, assume it is.
Prayer is a way to connect with the spirit of life and higher power, an expression of hope and gratitude, attached into the collective unconsciousness, and binds us to those who pray.
Prayer is complicated. Prayer is a means of becoming aware of the present moment, a statement of gratitude for my life and the lives around me, an articulation of aspiration about how I hope to live my life, and a wish that every being on earth may live his fullest life.
Prayer is setting intentions, seeking hope, and resonating with others in the wider world.
Prayer is when I connect with something larger than myself, the greater interconnectedness between all life.
Prayer is a meditation, a shared song and consciousness with others who believe in love, equality for everyone, and how lucky we are to be alive.
The words attention and intention came up frequently.
Prayer is either an act of desperation or an act of kindness, and maybe both.
Prayer is a contemplative, meditative state to look inward, to connect to spirit. Prayer is hope. I also asked you if you pray, and you were wonderfully varied. A few of you said simply no, or not really. Others said you do something, but you don't call it prayer. And many of you pray. You note in your responses all the emotions you feel and express when you pray. Sadness, awe, loving kindness, sorrow, joy, relief, hope, gratitude. Those last two came up again and again, hope and gratitude. Those of you who pray shared that you pray to God, to spirit, to the great mystery, to the spirit of life, to your innermost knowing, to your inner self, to your deepest consciousness, to that which binds us together, to the love and mystery that holds us all. Sounds like we've got some pluralism right here in this community. Renowned Protestant theologian Reinhold Niebuhr said, "Prayer does not change things. Prayer changes people, and people change things. Prayer is not hearing voices. Prayer is acquiring a voice." Many UU churches include "and service is our prayer" in their covenant. UUs believe that people change the world for the better through compassionate service and acting for justice. UUCL may not have that exact phrase, "and service is our prayer" in our covenant, but I would say we strive to live that out here. You all serve our community in so many ways individually, and we strive as a church to serve our community. The people of Gander were living out that phrase in September of 2001. Service was their prayer. I read some accounts of what happened in Gander during that brief time in 2001, and I was struck by this reflection from a flight attendant named Karen Voskanian. She remembers that every time she walked with her group of plain people to the Walmart for provisions, they couldn't walk for more than a few minutes before they were stopped by multiple drivers offering a ride or a place to stay or a warm meal or both. All of the above. Of course, 9/11 was a historic moment and it shocked the world. The people of Gander were not the only people who rose to the occasion and supported one another in beautiful ways. But by all reports, the people of Gander weren't just like that because it was a historic moment. They were maybe uniquely ready to meet that moment with love. One local resident was quoted as saying, "For us, it was just like any other day. You don't turn your backs on people in need." Another town resident recalled that when she heard about all these planes being diverted to her small town, she thought, "Thank God they're coming here, because I know they will be looked after." To be able to say that, it conveys such a deep sense of trust in the goodness of your community, their openness, their generosity, their humanity. When she says looked after, she didn't just mean they were given some food in a cot somewhere. They were seen, they were cared for, they were welcomed. So if the thank God part of her statement doesn't sit right with you, we can rewrite it just a little and say, what would it mean to embody that feeling? I'm so glad they're coming here because I know they will be looked after. This country and this world feels kind of far from that right now. I like to think we are a welcoming church here. I know we really strive to be. We strive to be a place where you can bring your whole self, where your insides can fully match your outsides. We believe that that authenticity and that congruency is sacred, and that you should cultivate that within yourself, and we should share it with one another. That means we must hold our differences with respect and curiosity in the spirit of pluralism. Theologian Henry Nelson Wyman says the source of all human good is what he called the creative interchange. By this, he means when two people interact, we learn something from one another, absorbing into ourselves energy that enriches us and expands our experience of the world. Our enriched selves then enrich others in the next interactions and that next creative interchange. This ripple effect means that eventually the whole world is enriched. Youths often think about the practice of radical hospitality. We push ourselves to think about all the identities that may arrive at that door and how to open this circle wide enough to welcome them and include all who resonate with our mission. Practicing radical hospitality means that we have to be open to possibility, to being changed by that creative interchange. Though we may see ourselves as being in like-minded community here, and we often are, we must recognize in just the folks who shared their thoughts on prayer, how varied we are and how varied we can be. We can and do contain multitudes. Benedictine nun Joan Chittister says, "Hospitality is the way we come out of ourselves. It is the first step toward dismantling the barriers of the world." Service was the prayer of the people of Gander during that fateful week in September of 2001. They embodied radical hospitality and creative interchange. So you can cover your ears if you don't want to hear a spoiler about the end of Come From Away. The finale gives snippets of the different ways that characters searched for and created peace, both within themselves and in the wider world. One far-flung couple who meet during their time in Gander fall in love and later get married. So sweet. The passengers and crew of one plane, so moved by the generosity they experienced, started a scholarship fund for the students in the Gander area. By 2021, they had raised over $1 million. Another passenger closes his business on September 11th every year and gives each employee $100 to do a random act of kindness that day in honor of the generosity of the people of Gander. These are small channels of peace, but they ripple outward and they get bigger the further they reach. What more can we hope for? May we be curious about all the ways we are different. May we connect and rejoice in all the ways we are like-hearted. May we be attuned to the deepest truths of ourselves. May we be open to the best parts of each other and every opportunity for creative interchange. May we be deeply centered and bravely generous. May we be a channel for peace. Let this be a house for peace and a place where we can say, I'm so glad they're coming here because I know they will be looked after. May it be so. Blessed be and amen.